This week, an annual gathering of young scientists is winding up. For 16 years, the partly government-funded Fresh Scientists program has been working with young researchers to help them demystify science and their work. One of the Fresh Scientists is Dr. Evan Stevens from the University of Queensland's Institute for Molecular Bioscience, who's sitting opposite me. Good morning.
Good day, Judy.
Molecular bioscience, did you have to be a brainiac to get into that?
I think it's more persistence than being a genius.
Tell me what you've found about your time as a scientist. How long have you been in the game?
Oh, I've been in the algae game for about 8 years. Mm. It's definitely a hard slog, but it's very rewarding.
And I'd imagine in the climate we're in at the moment, with a political, a much more political impetus to get into things like what you're in, algae for biofuels.
Absolutely.
It'd be really quite exciting.
That's right.
Tell me what you do.
So we work on algae, and we're looking at turning algae into a new source of what we call biocrude, which is a petroleum alternative. And we've found new native strains of algae in Australia that we're able to grow in a stable way.
Ocean algae or freshwater algae?
Both. We can use both. And that's a really interesting question, because you can use them for a whole range of different things. But our main focus here is to use them for energy.
And how does that work?
So you can either find oil-rich algae and use that oil directly to turn into fuels, or you can also process them in a different way to turn them into biocrude. And we're finding that that's a more efficient way, and then allows us to use a wider range of algae.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. So I guess if you've got an oil-rich algae, there are specific types that are rich in oil, but if you're going to get a more multi-purpose algae, then that would be the answer to a whole range of uses.
That's right. So specific algae might have different types of oil. Some would be good for omega-3s, which would be a great food product.
Yeah.
And others might have a more saturated oil, which would be good for fuels. But when we turn them into a biocrude, you can actually process that in existing refineries, just like we do with petroleum.
And petroleum being the fuel that we can run cars, that we can run machines on.
Exactly. So you can make diesel, you can make petrol, you can make jet fuel, you can make plastics, pretty much all the things we do with petroleum oil today.
Can you make it in substantial quantities so that you would look at it as an alternative industry to the oil-rich countries of the Middle East, for instance?
That's right. I mean, we could become...
Black gold.
Black gold indeed. We could potentially become an oil exporting nation, and that's really important for us, because currently a lot of our fuel grade oil is being imported from overseas. So we do produce some petroleum, but it's not, a lot of it's not the grade that we require for making fuels.
How far off are you from being able to produce biofuels from algae in large quantities?
Well, we're already at the point where we can make the biofuels, and we can actually make biofuels which are a better quality fuel than what we can make from petroleum. In terms of how far off we are, that's how long's a piece of string, but we're making a lot of advancements, and those advancements are also accelerating. It's really good progress and strong at the moment. The one good thing about Australia is that even though the levels of investment are not as large as somewhere like America, Australia has a really strong reputation of being able to do a lot with a little. And there's a lot of Australian technologies that have really gone a long way with a smaller amount of funding relative to other countries.
Well, yeah, and I guess you can piggyback off some of that research that's being done in the US and in other progressive countries looking into biofuels too.
Absolutely. A lot of this stuff is in the published scientific literature, so it's a very collegial and collaborative environment in science, which is very positive.
So is this a topic of your barbecue conversation in sunny Queensland? Do people interested in knowing what you as a scientist do?
Usually, yes.
Yeah. Well, your big fibber. Does it come after the footy?
After the footy.
After the tour.
Definitely after the footy. I think people are really excited with the concept, but if I started talking about the details, I might have to wake them up a few minutes later.
Yeah, the sausages are burning.
Yeah. Mm.
How do you get across this sort of stuff, though? How important is Fresh Scientists as a program to teach you how to communicate what you're talking about?
Well, that's exactly the key. It's all about communication. And the really important part of this is getting the public to understand the opportunities that are out there for Australia.
Talk to me about opportunities then. We have a large audience in regional areas, farmers, food producers. How important will your research be to them, and can you see it having practical application for some of the big John Deeres that are rolling across the paddock at the moment any time in the next decade.
Definitely. There's a lot of opportunity here for regional development. And there's also one important distinction is that with the algae, we don't need the existing farming land. We can grow it in arid regions. Obviously, we need some water to grow the algae, but we can bring the sea in. We can use salt water. We can use wastewater from municipal, from domestic wastewater. We can use industrial wastewater. So that really cuts down our freshwater usage.
Is Australia attracting international partners in this research, or is everybody seeming to go it alone?
Well, increasingly people are coming together. So we are starting to work with excellent researchers from the University of Adelaide, James Cook University in Townsville, and also Murdoch University in Perth. So it's really positive to see people coming together in that way.
You sound like a very articulate scientist. You're making an address, I think, in front of your peers tonight, aren't you?
An address?
A presentation?
I guess we could loosely call it that.
How are you feeling about that?
Well, I'm very enthusiastic about what's happening, and I have a great respect for our peers in this industry. There have been some companies that have made some ostentatious claims, and that can be a little bit dangerous to overpromise.
Yeah, I wondered about that because we were doing the Weather Bureau's Bureau of Meteorology's forecast at the start of the program, and I mean, you know that they are mercilessly pilloried as, you know, oh, here we go, another forecast, you know, let's just put a pin on the map and see how the weather's going to be. And I wondered if for you, as a research scientist, it can be the same. Oh, yes, they say that algae's going to be powering our tractors, but hey, really, is that going to happen?
Well, powering our tractors is very realistic.
That's, yeah, but do you get that sort of thing like the forecasters do?
To a degree.
As you talked about overhyping.
Yeah, to a degree, definitely.
Yeah. How do you combat that?
Well, we just like to maintain a realistic statement. We talk about the levels of algae that are achievable now. And, I mean, we do believe we can potentially double that productivity. To put it in perspective, algae right now can be up to 10 times more productive than normal crops. But I don't want to gild the lily because these farms are more expensive to establish than standard farming practices.
Well, thank you very much for coming in. It's been fascinating.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Evan Stevens from the University of Queensland's Institute for Molecular Bioscience and a graduate of the Fresh Scientists Program.